Welcome to the audio description Narrators of America Know Your Narrator series. Today, we're honored to have Sophia Cruz with us. Thanks for joining us, Sophia.
Hi, Roy. Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor to be here.
Here we go. Let's jump right into it. And if you could answer a question that's been coming up for a lot of narrators, love to hear your take on this. What do you love about AD?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, what I love about it is what it actually does. It supports a community that needs it. And I feel that the more I've done this work and the more I've connected with the community that we, you know, serve and or strive to serve in a way that honors them, it's been really just overwhelmingly amazing to me because I feel like my work has meaning. I feel that it's serving a true purpose, and not that everything else that I do doesn't, but this just feels more at home for my heart for some reason. For that reason, I should say.
And you mentioned your experience, that your experience within the world of voiceover seems like it does contribute to your audio description narration.
Definitely. I would not have been prepared to do audio description work if I had not had the training or the experience as a voice actor in general. The foundation, I think, for voice acting is important for all voiceover work, but I definitely see how it's helped me with audio description. I've actually taken in-show TV narration coaching and training, and I feel like that has helped me the most because to a certain extent, that is the role that I feel I'm playing.
And without giving away any trade secrets, can you go into any more specifics about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, the trade secret is always, there's no such thing as secrets in the first place, in my opinion. But I will say that, you know, what makes a in-show TV narrator something that we would all want to strive for and reach is that the show, whatever you're narrating, will be better off for you doing the narration, makes it more memorable, and almost you don't feel that you're doing, like the end user, the viewer, doesn't notice you. And I know that sounds crazy because, like, isn't that our job to be heard? But if we can have it be such a seamless process for the viewer, for the listener, then that is what makes it spectacular because it's a seamless process from beginning to end, and everything that is being heard on screen, whether it's the actors on screen or the loopers, and then now the audio narrator, I think that's a beautiful thing. And so that's what in-show TV narration is. It's allowing us as narrators to give the show a little bit extra, but if we're not quote unquote heard or noticed, that's a big plus. So that's what I feel, or that's the secret.
And now it's out. Like you said, there are no secrets, but in case anybody was wondering. Are there any differences between in-show TV narration and audio description narration that come to mind? Are there pretty
aside from the fact that it's very, I would actually say, and I don't know, and this is, you know, not to start up any kind of controversies here, but I would say it's very similar. And I would actually like for the industry to recognize it as that, because I do feel that that is exactly what we're doing. We're narrating the show. Now with in-show TV narration, you can get a little bit more animated and, you know, depending on the role that you play. But I do think that is we're narrating, we're guiding you through the show, giving you pieces that we otherwise wouldn't notice because someone's taking the time to point it out, because our mind only has the ability to absorb so much stuff, but when it gets pointed out, you're like, oh, that happened. So for me, as obviously I'm able to see, when I narrate what is the description that I'm asked to narrate, I realize that I'm picking up different nuances that I wouldn't have picked up had I just viewed the show or the film that I'm narrating without the audio description. So I'm someone who has subtitles is something that my son introduced into our lives, into my life at a young age. He loved reading and he still loves reading. And he felt that reading the subtitles when he watched a show, even though we're not hearing impaired, felt that it helped him. And so that is how I watch everything. I don't watch anything without subtitles. And I like it because I can pick up on what I might not have heard. And now with audio description, it's been another layer for me where I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm getting the perfect trifecta, if you will. I can hear it. And first of all, I can see it. I can hear it. I can read it. And it's like, I love it. And so for me, that's been an amazing, wow, I didn't realize how much this could add. And so in that sense, I do feel that that is why it is, in my opinion, should be really more considered in show TV narration, or that we would have that kind of similarity to that genre, get paid like that genre, and see it as that, because that is what we're doing. We're narrating the show and we're giving the listener that experience.
And that enhancement that you talked about, both with subtitles and AD, it just, it sounds like that pops a little bit. If we could go back a little bit to what you said about the very subtle difference between in-show TV narration and audio description. You said less animated. Does that mean that someone could be less experienced in something like in-show narration and just jump right into audio description? Or could you talk a little more about what less animated means as far as audio description narration goes?
Well, in what I have learned is, you know, you have been one of my teachers, which I am so grateful to have you as someone leading the pack, if you will. You know, that less is more sometimes. However, I do feel that some shows could warrant maybe a little bit more acting on the narrator side. I've experimented with the room that I have as a narrator, because I'm someone who, I don't know if I should say this publicly, but I've said it many times, I'm someone who doesn't actually watch a lot of TV, mostly because I just don't have time. I spend a lot of time inside my studio recording. So that doesn't leave a lot of room for other things. And I'd like to actually leave my house when we're allowed and can. So I don't, when I get a film, there's a 95% chance I have never seen it. When I get a series, there is a 95% chance I haven't seen it. So when I see it for the first time, I'm reacting to it like I would if I had never seen it, because I usually haven't. In fact, everything I've narrated, I've never seen so far. So it is a genuine, natural reaction, what I'm saying, and how I'm saying it, the emotions. There was one scene where I actually cried. And I had to do the retake because I'm like, I don't know that they're going to want to hear me crying. So, you know, and I feel like that's all natural and that's part of the acting. Yes, it's acting, but it's acting, reacting to what I'm actually viewing and giving it that, you know, when there's a death scene, it should sound somber and it should sound like, wow, that was hard to see. Or, you know, when something's more happy and I'm happy with it. You know, I did Disneyland fairy tale weddings, and that was like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. And it's so much fun. And, you know, love and Disney and, you know, all these amazing ways men are proposing to women, romantic, you know, of course I'm a woman. I love that stuff. And so I want to be able to express that in the narration, because I feel it's appropriate. And I did do that for that series. So yeah, it's, and I feel like that's all, I think that especially nowadays, because the shift in voiceover, which I'm very thankful for, is that we're shifting to a more authentic reading, to a more authentic way of telling the story, a more authentic way of seeing our characters, the actors in all that way. And especially in the time that we're living today, we care about authenticity. We care about real. And that is, and I'm that kind of person anyway. Of course, I know how to act. Of course, I know how to play the part. But I think that that authenticity, all that authentic nature that we're all craving for, if we can also bring that to the script, wow, I think that's what makes it a big difference. So, yeah.
And it sounds like each of those words that you use, the newness that you experience, does come across as genuine, because it is genuine, that natural, that you use the word authentic a few times, that I believe that that is a performance, that that is an acting. Just because it seems real doesn't make it any less a performance. And I'm curious your thoughts on that. That isn't that a form of acting that's just tailored to the material? Or do you find that it's less acting? And everyone's got a different opinion here.
Right. No, yeah, of course. You know, I would say it's a combination of both. Obviously, the foundation of voiceover techniques and, you know, breath support and all that come into play that we do without thinking anymore because we've been doing this for years, right? 15 plus years for me. I don't remember how many years for you. And so, of course, all those come into play when I'm having my quote unquote authentic, genuine reaction to what I'm narrating. So it is a combination of both. It's the trained skill set that I bring to the table along with my natural reaction, along with the ability to tell the story. So I think that they all work together. It's not independent one of the other. Of course, if I had no voice acting skills, that might sound different and they may not like it. But because I understand the nuances and I understand the wiggle room I have within that platform and how I'm called to narrate, that is why I can do that in an authentic manner. And again, I didn't feel it was appropriate for me to cry on the take, but that I can feel, you know, because that is a different, you know, a different sound. But I can still sound somber without crying. And I know that. And so that's where the acting skills obviously matter. That's why we get paid to do what we do. We've taken the time to learn the craft, to study it, to advance our skill set. You know, we're always learning wanting to do our best. And definitely within the realm of audio description, for me, I know that I still have a long way to go, and I ask for forgiveness on anybody who may not like my first thing I did. because, you know, it is a learning process, and I feel like I've evolved significantly since I started. And I don't stop learning. And now that I've become aware, when I became an audio description narrator, what it is and taking the time to learn it more and then listen to shows that have it, I'm picking up on the nuances and all the things that people are liking and hearing the comments and hearing the community that we serve, I think is so vital because this isn't about me. You know, this, and a lot, I don't know that a lot of voice actors really get this. It's not about us, right? We're like, it is truly always about what the client wants. In the case of commercials, it's the, you know, advertising agency, but here we have a community that tells us what they want. And for me, I take that to heart because it's like, this isn't about me. It's not about my voice. It's not about how great I sound or don't sound. It's about how do I serve them in a way that honors what they're looking for. And of course, there's a variety of opinions and needs and desires within that. But how do I do my part to honor those as best as I can? And that's why we have so many narrators, because there is so many different styles and so many genres of films, and we can specialize in different things. I feel like I've done the gamut. You know, like that sweet stuff, the children stuff, the horror stuff, the really awful stuff, things that I never thought I'd narrate. But, and excuse my voice, I just finished a series with 80 episodes. So you can definitely, my voice can definitely be heard that. But, you know, it is important to take into consideration all those things. So I think it's a combination of understanding yourself as a narrator, the training you've had, the community, and then what comes out. And of course, perfecting that as I go on is definitely what I'm up to the challenge for.
Well, those are some great examples, Sophia. Specifically when you speak about the audience, can you give any other additional specific examples of how you've evolved as a narrator, either through the suggestions or feedback you've gotten from the audience or just from your experience with all the different genres?
Well, I would say my biggest takeaway is just that they actually have, first of all, I love how vocal they are for either pro or against. I think it's important that we honor the fact that they're speaking up. I love that. First of all, that's number one. Even if it was in contrast, or like, even if it was against something I did, someone said, you know, I just didn't like it for that reason, I would take that. I'd be like, oh, okay, that's good to know. It may or may not be true, but I think that it is important to get feedback, number one. Number two, I would say many people have expressed that they don't want it to be a dramatic read. They don't need me to be like a soap opera. You know, it doesn't need to be me making it a soap opera, for example. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's good, because, you know, that's when I started to tailor my reactions a little bit less. Like, I tamed them a little bit. I'm like, okay, so they don't like it to be so dramatic. Okay, so that was a really good point. So I would say that was one of my biggest takeaway in this series. So when it comes out, people will notice the difference from season one to season two, because I listened and I was like, oh, okay. So that was, you know, to me, that was the biggest one. And that, in understanding that less is more, and understanding the fact that we are the in-show TV narrator per se, and it doesn't always mean, you know, dramatic, because a typical in-show TV narrator kind of does make it more dramatic. You know, I always think of the show MasterChef, one of the shows I used to watch frequently. You know, it's like that I feel like the real TV made the in-show TV narrator, and all the stuff from National Geographic and Discovery Channel. You know, obviously the biggest one being the Penguin one with Morgan Freeman, right? It's like, ooh, you know, it does add a dramatic effect to it. If we look at all of that in a scheme, if we had to sum it all up in one word, it would be dramatic. But with audio description, it isn't as much. And so I think that that was my biggest aha for me. It's like, don't make it so dramatic. It's okay. And so that was my biggest lesson that I've learned by listening to the community.
And it sounds like that feeds into what you had said at the beginning of this interview when it comes to, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but blending in, that you're a part of the story, that it's on the story.
Exactly. It's on the story. And, you know, I feel like my voice is sometimes different. I don't get to choose how I get cast. I just get cast. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know, is my voice really the best fit for what's happening and how everybody sounds? But I do my job, and I have to trust that they know what they're doing. And because to me, I would feel like it would maybe that's the point. I don't know. Maybe that's a question to ask, and I would welcome the feedback. You know, do you like it when a voice isn't matching to everything that you're hearing? I don't know. So that's because I've noticed that they've used my voice a couple of times where I really stand out. And I don't understand necessarily why. So, So I'm a very curious person, and I love asking questions. And so maybe that's why I love this community so much, because they're open to answering them.
Well, Sophia, I hate to put you on the spot, but I have to ask. Going back to what you said about soap opera, that big heightened dramatic read versus, you know, the last 80 episodes that you've done on this this new series. Could I put you on the spot and ask, just randomly choose a sentence where you would read it in an over-exaggerated dramatic soap opera, and then read it in a way that kind of puts the audience, like, I'll be your audience, into the story. I'm just going to send you a random line that I just made up. And if you could read it with that over-exaggerated dramatic soap opera, and then contrast that to something where you make sure that the audience is immersed as you're talking about how your read has evolved.
Okay. She puts the water bottle down and turns to him. She squints and smiles slightly. She puts the water bottle down and turns to him. She squints and smiles slightly.
Yeah, totally different feeling. Like, there's that quiet intimacy on that.
Yeah. And then there's the in-between, right? Where it's like, if it's more conversational, which some shows I feel have lend itself to have that conversational tone where I've used it. And so it would be like, she puts the water bottle down and turns to him. She squints and smiles slightly. Mm-hmm. So I'm going from, I definitely never did that over dramatic because
sure, that was just for the example.
Yeah, exactly. But just to be clear, I've never I've never narrated with that craziness. I was smart enough to know that from the beginning. I never was like, oh my gosh, you know, I've narrated some stuff like, he fells her and she falls to the floor. I mean, that's what I think should be said, but then it's like, no, I knew that should never be that way.
And, you know, we don't have the example of what's happened in the scene or the context or the music. We've got no context.
Exactly. So
what did that feel like? Like, when you're making those choices between the, obviously we horribly directed you to go soap opera, and also the read where you kind of made sure that the audience is immersed in what you're saying. What was going on, either technically or performance wise? Can you share anything, or did you just do it? It's just a part of you.
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination. We're trained now. I mean, at this point, my eyes are trained. I read it. I have to interpret it. I have to understand it. I have to visualize it. And I have to say it right within seconds. Like, that is a process that definitely took me years to get. So I have to visualize she's putting the water bottle down and actually turn to him. And so I actually physically mimic those sound. Those actions whenever possible, with making sure that the audio quality isn't going to get ruined. And you have to make sure your clothing doesn't make noise when you do this stuff. And when the words, so this is a technique that we learned, you know, as voice actors, and everybody calls it differently, but coloring your words, things that our listeners, everybody, even, you know, whether you can see or not, we're all used to hearing smiling as a smile, right? Like, you can hear it. You can hear when someone's smiling because we hear it. The same thing when it's angry, you know, if I'm angry, it's going to come, obviously never for audio description in that way, and certainly never for commercials, but we have these words in our vocabulary that we're all used to hearing a certain way. So I always try to honor that. And so for when you sent me this line, I just visualized she's putting the water bottle down, she's turning to him, she's squinting and smiling slightly. So it's just, I add all of that in my performance. I act, I'm essentially acting it out either in my mind or physically so that it can come out like it's supposed to sound.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Where would you like, if you could have the dream world of audio description, whatever you want, sky's the limit, where would you like it to go?
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, I would like it to become an in-show TV narration genre within what that allows for actors and production, et cetera, because that also factors in the budgets. It factors in, the budgets being the main thing. And that's good because that means more shows would have it automatically. That means narrators are getting treated and paid fairly. And it's recognized as part of a production for any TV series or film. And I think that's really important, and not have it be considered as this when we get to it, or it's not as important for it to launch without the AD, we'll add it later. You know, I would love to see it become kind of like the subtitles where I watched The Last Dance because I'm from Chicago and a major Chicago Bulls fan, especially during the Michael Jordan era. And watching that documentary has been phenomenal. And I'm looking for ways. Do they need an audio description person? Because that would be amazing to narrate. Yes. But they don't even have subtitles. And I was like, what? And so never to have that. Like, there should never be anything that comes out without subtitles, without audio description. Period. That is my dream.
Great. A lot of good points you covered there. And all attainable, maybe.
I don't know. I do think it's possible. I think the more that we speak up, the more that we are honest, you know, obviously respectable in the way that we communicate, I do feel it is possible, especially with everything going to streaming, what feels like it, and people loving to binge watch stuff. I do think it is possible, but we have to work together, and that's where I applaud you and everything that you're doing within this platform and speaking up on the things that matter and learning and advocating. I have so much respect for you and those who have gone before us to ensure that we can serve the blind and low vision community in the best way possible. And I feel like it's come a long way. I know there's a long more way to go, but I do feel that it is attainable and I believe in manifesting. So I believe it is possible.
Yeah. And that nuance, there are so many people involved in bringing quality and excellence. And
yes,
I'm honored to be a part of it. And it's great to have you a part of it too. This is a really big endeavor from a lot of different angles. And whether it's the vendors who are hiring you or the people casting you or if you're directed or the engineers or the quality control or the audience or the decision makers, that every single person that really cares about this work is bringing it to where it can be. And that's really exciting.
It is exciting. Now, I don't know. It seems like a lot of the shows on Amazon that I have looked at, another series that I really loved watching on Amazon was Modern Love on Amazon. And I was pleasantly surprised that the AD was already on there. And I find that more and more shows are launching that way. And I absolutely love that show. And I just, that's why I'm like, oh, I got to check. So now I'm eager every time I watch something, when I do take the time to watch something, I'm always like, let's check if the AD is on. And so I love so my philosophy in life is, let's celebrate the good that is being done and focus on the positive. And so, you know, sending a note of gratitude, of thankfulness, whether it's a tweet or a private message to these production companies that are taking the time to do this, that are honoring this community, I think will go a long way for us. And I feel like Amazon is setting an example in that sense, that I feel the majority, now again, I'm not the biggest TV show watcher, so it's probably not a lot coming from me, but everything that I've seen except for The Last Dance has had AD, and I think that's something, that's really something very positive to celebrate.
As of early May 2020, there were 4,100 plus audio description original titles, whether feature films, streaming, broadcast. So it's not 100%, but to your point, it is. It seems like it's going in the right direction, and there sure are a lot of challenges and a lot of huge hurdles that still have to go. But it's great to hear your focus on the positive and where things can go, and the appreciation that you have for the efforts that all the streaming companies are putting forth.
Absolutely, and I've been narrating a lot of older films. I just did 4 films this week, and they were all older titles. So I think that's great because, you know, none shows that I've watched, none of the movies I ever watched in the 90s or in the 2000s, but yeah, they're going back. And I think that's great. I'm like, wow. Things that came out 8 years ago, one of them was 8 years ago or 7 years ago, and the other one was like 15 years ago. So it's ranging the gamut, but yeah, I feel like they're really trying. I don't know if it's going on Netflix. I have no idea, but it seems like they're trying to do an effort to bring as much up to date and then hopefully the newer stuff. So yeah, I'm excited. I do feel like it's attainable. And I do feel that even if we never reach 100% perfection, if we got to 98.9, that would be amazing.
Thanks so much for sharing your perspective as a narrator and someone who cares about audio description as yourself as an audience member.
I do now. So yeah, it's really exciting. I'm really thankful that I got the chance to explore this, not only as a voice actor narrator, but also as a consumer.
Very cool. How can we follow you on social media?
I am on all my social media, the @ Sophia, SophiaCruzVo. So everywhere, Sophia Cruz VO.
Very cool. Thanks again, Sophia.
Thank you so much. This has been wonderful. And I wish everybody to stay safe and healthy.